Blog Talk Radio.
The streets don't love you back. Stay tuned every Wednesday at 11:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 8:30 Pacific, with your hosts Boyd and Lucinda for the hottest talk show in existence. The streets don't love you back.
Good evening and welcome to the Streets Don't Love You Back show at Blog Talk Radio. Today's August 26, 2009. I'm your host, Lucinda, coming to you from sunny Arizona with my co-host, Robert Boyd. And tonight, our topic is, as always, the Streets Don't Love You Back. We have a few announcements for you tonight. The book is finally out, and you can pick that up at Harlem World Book and Videos in Detroit, Michigan, and that's 21700 Greenfield Road, Oak Park, Michigan. Contact person there is ICE, and that is located inside the Greenfield Plaza at Harlem World. And you can also get it in New York at Human Bookstore. That's 2319 Frederick Douglass Boulevard, Harlem, New York. And the contact person there is Mike. You can get more information about these bookstores, their addresses, and phone numbers on our website, and that is www.thestreetsdontloveyouback.ning.com. And I'd like to welcome Rob Boyd tonight. How are you doing, Rob?
Oh, I'm doing great, Miss Lucinda. I'm just happy that God done blessed us to have the book out. And the book is out, and we're ready to do what we do, and that's God's message and spreading one of the most powerful messages that God could give a man. So I'm very happy about that. And through the show, like Ms. Lucinda said, we have a few announcements to make. And right now, we're going to get started, and we're going to go to a song and another commercial, and we're going to be right back with you to kick the show off real strong.
The money. The rise to power, violence, gangs, drugs, death, self-destruction, prison. The true life story of Detroit kingpin Rob Boyd, a must-read book. This book will be available online worldwide to order at thestreetsdontloveyouback.ning.com, at amazon.com, barnesandnoble.com, indiebound.org, and borders.com. Also available in Detroit at Harlem World Books and Videos and at Human Bookstore on Frederick Douglass Boulevard. It's everywhere, so go ahead and order your autographed copy today. The streets don't love you back.
And tonight we're going to be taking calls from any of you who would like to call in and just tell us what's on your mind. Our number is 347-826-7273. And again, we're talking about gangs and drugs and how we can change our communities. We are going to go to one other song, and that is Whatever It Takes by LV.
You're so funny. You're so funny. I love you, sweetie. Mm-hmm. My princess.
Fate, I can't see your face there every day. I still think
attention, daddy got something to say. It'll only take a few minutes, and when I'm finished, you can play. I know it's gonna be some times when things don't go right, but it can always be worse, and it'll be alright. No matter what, cause I'ma always be there. And you can talk to us about anything, cause your parents truly care. Life is gonna be hard, you can't study for the test. But what you overcome is how you measure success. Don't go against your gut, baby, listen to your heart. Try to change the world, but be sure to leave your mark. You can be anything you wanna be, you start from a clean slate. But God's will is God's will, some people call it fate. Never be afraid to dream, cause dreams, they make you you. Just put them in a pot and choose what to pursue. Just wanna give you the things me or your mother never had. I wish I could take away the tears for you ever feel sad. But baby,
little baby, don't you cry, daddy's gonna make everything alright. I promise to never leave you, I swear I'm gonna stay right by your side. But if by chance or fate I can't see your face here every day, I still take the tears away to make you happy. Whatever it takes. But if by chance or fate I can't see your face here every day, I still take the tears away to make you happy. Whatever it takes.
So see, you were conceived out of love, truly God's gift. At that moment it's what it was, our one true wish. I clenched your mother's hand as you took your first breath, and we hugged and kissed each other when you took your first step. See, it was love that gave us you, and love will get you through. So put God first in all you do and just be you. Welcome the truth, never lose your sense of wonder. Long but never look back, be strong like your mother. Keep your imagination as you grow into a lady. Hold tight to your beliefs, no ifs, buts, or maybes. And baby, be exactly that, think before you act. In time of conflict, be confident, don't talk smack. If you got something good to say, just keep it for yourself. No one's gonna love you like you, so depend on no one else. To obtain true wealth, stack your chips up early, honey. But remember, there's more important things in this world than money.
And I say, hush, little baby, don't you cry, daddy's gonna make everything alright. I promise to never leave you, I swear gonna stay right by your side. But if by chance or fate I can't see your face here every day, I still take the tears away to make you happy, whatever it takes. Hush, little baby, don't you cry, daddy's gonna make everything alright. I promise to never leave you, I swear I'm gonna stay right by your side. But if by chance or fate I can't see your face,
welcome back to the Streets Don't Love You Back Blog Talk Radio Show. And tonight we're talking with Rob, and his book just came out this week, The Streets Don't Love You Back. And this is a story about Rob's life. Growing up in the ghetto of Detroit, Michigan, back in the 70s and 80s when the gangs and the drugs were really, really heavy. So we're really excited to have this book out. This book is the basis of our new movement, the Streets Don't Love You Back movement. And our goal with the movement is that we're striving to educate the youth and everyone about the dangers of gang violence and drugs, and that there are a lot of alternatives to the street life, to the gang banging and thug drug life that a lot of people are living out in the streets. We've talked several times on our shows about the disloyalty, and that it's not really family and loyal as they make it appear to be. And we're just really trying to get out here and get people to to join our movement, to help us in every city of the United States to, you know, let's get up and stand up and make a change and teach these kids that, you know, education is a better way and that you can rise up and do something better with your life. You don't need to be on the streets selling drugs and, you know, shooting people and, you know, that there is a better way and that that there's people out here that you can talk to, that you can change your life. And so we're looking for people to join our movement to help us spread the word, to help us educate these kids and, you know, to make our communities a better place to live in. So, Rob, we're real excited that the book is out. And maybe you can give us a little more insight. You, you know, you actually lived this life and made a lot of changes in your life. So why don't you tell us a little bit about maybe, you know, again, what you went through when you were young and a little bit about the book.
Well, first of all, thank you, Miss Lucinda, and proud to have you as a member of the Streets Don't Love You Back, and proud to have you as president of the Streets Don't Love You Back movement, as well as my manager, and also proud to have all your long hours and hard work spending on reviving the Streets Don't Love You Back. So I would definitely like to send that personal shout out to Miss Lucinda before I get started. But growing up in the city of Detroit, like I said, at the beginning of my life, from 1 to 9 years old, you know, everything was fine. You know, I did great in school, got great grades and different things like that. But at the age of 9 years old, you know, I witnessed my grandfather kill my stepfather, you know, right in front of me and my mother. So that took my life to a whole nother level, you know. By the time I'm 10 years old, I joined the Bishop Gang off the east side of Detroit. And that's where my life, Lil Rob, began and started getting in various troubles. And at the age of 11 years old, that's when I shot my first person, you know what I mean, as far as in the gang world and doing things like that. So by the time I was 14 years old in the state of Michigan, they had told my mother that I was a habitual criminal, you know what I mean, due to the life I was living with the gangs and the selling drugs and things like that. Just to say that topic, you know, kids need to learn very early out here, I mean, from growth coming up into the world, that when you see things in this world as far as, like I seen as a young kid, you know, I should have talked to someone, this, that, and other. But at that time, in them days, you know, my mother, you know, had witnessed that herself. You know, we both witnessed that, so my mother, you know, could have went any kind of way in life, you know, but God was very much in her life, and she was a very strong woman, and my mother never been in the streets. She never used drugs. She's never drank. She's never been in a bar. She's never did any of that in her whole life, you know what I mean, and she's 60-something years old now. Just her kids know about the streets, so I thank God that I went through what I went through, and my mother had never had to deal with the street life at all, but just what her kids had went through and things like that. So that's something that I really appreciate in God, you know?
Right. Well, thank God you had your mom that was, you know, the rock and foundation of your family because, you know, everybody's turned out pretty good. You know, and it could have went the opposite way and could have been very tragic where you could have lost, you know, all of your brothers and even your sister to the gang violence and the drug bug lies. And as we know that you did lose, you know, some cousins to that life, some close cousins of yours, and
definitely
many good friends that you, you know, grew up with. Can you talk a little bit about the loyalty and the friendship that gangs are supposedly, you know, they make people feel that it's, you know, family oriented and that it's loyal and it's, if you're in the gang, you're in it forever and everybody's going to back you up. And that's just not so. So could you, you know, tell us a little bit about how you feel about that?
Well, you know, starting off when it was in 1980 when I first got back out of jail, I went down to the Warning County Projects and I had seen my cousin who I hadn't seen, you know, since I was incarcerated. So I come home in 1980. So when I go down in the projects and I see him, you know, he like, wow, you know, cuz, you know, you home, you know. I say, yeah, you know. And that's when I really started getting introduced to the heavy side of the drugs, because I had always been hustling pills and marijuana and things like that, you know. But I got involved in the heavy drugs like heroin and cocaine and things like that through my cousin, you know, because he had a connect dealing with heroin at that time. So he said, hey, man, you want to make some money? You still putting in work? I'm like, yeah, you know, let's do what we do. So that's when the 430 crew rolls up. You know, me and him co-founded the 430 crew, and we folks co-founded that through, back in them days, you know, you could get a pager, but you had to go through a whole lot of things to get a pager back in them days. You know, you had to be a doctor or a lawyer to be having a pager. So back in them days, you had to have credit checks, and people had to, you know, have good credit, and you had to spend $300-something or to get a pager, you know. Nowadays, you know, you get a pager for $5 or $10, but them days was real heavy like that. So our first three digits was 430, and that's how the 430 crew originated, through getting them first two pages back in the day. And my cousin had started using heroin and cocaine, and I didn't know it. And people had started telling me in the street, you know, but I'm like, man, come on, you know what I mean? That's my people, man. He ain't doing nothing like that. But, you know, we would hustle all day in the street, you know what I mean? And he had stopped hustling all day in the street, and he would sleep all day, and, you know, he wanted to come out at night when, you know, that wasn't the law, you know what I mean? We get out in the day and we in at night, you know? But the opposite happened, and next thing you know, it came reality that he was using, and me and him fell out, you know what I mean, over a lot of money. And that's when I found out that, you know, it's really no loyalty in that drug world, you know what I mean, and anything dealing with that, because your own family will mess you around, you know what I mean? So you have to be real careful out here when you call yourself dealing in that lifestyle, because, you know, anytime, prime example, anytime your brother a snitch on you, loyalty already done went out the door, you know? You know, I done seen two brothers, you know, tell on each other. So it's no loyalty in that hustle life whatsoever, you know? You can fake it in your mind all you want to, but it's game over, lights out in that world.
Right. Right. And let's go back just a little bit, talking about family and loyalty and everything. When you were 9 years old, and actually, you know, the book starts out talking about your childhood, that your real father didn't really have anything to do with your life, but he was a well-known reverend and author, and just didn't have anything to do with you, your mom, or your sister. And you had a stepfather who you loved dearly, and he was the world to you. And when you were 9 years old, you witnessed your grandfather stab him to death. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Well, yeah, what had happened with that situation, my stepfather had just got off work that night, and I was in the back room because I would always wait for him, me and my little brothers and them, which, you know, my three brothers is his sons, you know. And at that time, my mother was still pregnant with my baby brother, you know, which he never had a chance to see his dad. But, yeah, I was waiting in the window like I did every night for him to come home, because he always brought candy and stuff at the house. And, you know, that was my thing, you know. And that night, I mean, I didn't know that life was going to take a whole bad turn. And when he came home that night, you know, him and mom had, you know, had a few words. But, you know, he never was the type of man to put his hand on my mother. None of that, never have. But, you know, everybody have a few words sometime, you know. You ain't going to be with nobody while having a few words, you know. That's the part of living and growing and learning, you know. But my auntie, my mother's sister, she lived in the same house in the back. And we stayed in a two-family flat, and she called upstairs and told my grandfather, you know, that, you know, they was arguing and this and that. And, you know, he didn't care about what nobody was arguing about or nothing else, you know. He was he was a very very possessive man over his daughters, which he had 13 daughters and one son, you know. So he didn't give my stepfather time to talk about nothing, say nothing to nothing, you know. He had just came downstairs and said, "You need to leave." And I'm looking like, wow, you know, that's dad, you know. He live here, you know what I mean? He got kids here, you know. And, you know, I come out the back and I'm looking and I'm like, man, you know, in my mind, I'm like, why would you go upstairs, granddaddy? You know, I'm saying this to myself at that age. I'm like, would you go upstairs? We're trying to go to bed, you know what I mean? Because mom and them had already talked about what they had to talk about, and that was it, you know? Right. So when he came down there, it went to a whole nother level. And my stepfather was sitting on the side of the bed, and he dozed off for a hot second. I'm standing there looking because I'm thinking my grandfather's going to go back upstairs. Next thing you know, it was game over. You know, my grandfather rushed him and stabbed him straight in the heart, you know what I mean? And I'm looking like, wow, you know, that blew me away, you know what I mean? That was the first time I'd ever seen somebody get murdered.
Right. That had to be really hard because I know, you know, I'm sure your mom was pretty emotional and
My mother was devastated.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, my mother was devastated. You know, he died right in my mother's arm, you know, and blood was all over my mother's bed, all over my mother, all over the walls, everywhere, you know. And for a long time, you know, my mother didn't even get rid of that mattress because my mother was so overwhelmed because she loved him, my stepfather. You know what I mean? She had her three sons by him. You feel me?
Right.
So for a long time, she didn't even get rid of the mattress till one day she just said that she needed to get rid of that and move on, you know what I mean? But it took a long, very long time. And when I say a long time, it took some years, you know?
Definitely.
Before my mother had ever got involved with another man, period.
Right. And she was pregnant with your youngest brother, right?
Right, yeah. She was pregnant with my baby brother, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Which he was he was born in August 17th, 73, and my stepfather got murdered in March
1973. Wow. Yeah, so a father taken away from his family for no
reason.
No
apparent reason. And, you know, for a long time, that separated me from my mother's family.
Right.
Because at that time, you know, I was very young, which I was 9 years old. And, you know, I was very much, you know, very well and shocked over what had happened and what I had seen. And
right.
From that point, you know, I hadn't really talked to my mother's family in a lot of years, you know, far as from 9 years old to I was well in my 30s, you know.
Right. And I think maybe just because you just maybe kind of blamed everybody because of the situation, because it was your grandfather.
Yeah, well, yeah, you know, to talk about the situation out loud, yeah, I blamed everybody, you know what I mean? Because, you know, my grandfather, you know, to let people know, my grandfather didn't spend one day in jail, period, you know what I mean?
Right,
so
right.
It was all a cover-up, you know what I mean? And I talk about that now 30-some years later, you know?
Right. Well, we are going to listen to a song, and then we will come back and continue talking.
Yeah, yeah, this the Streets Don't Love You Back. We dedicate this to all the youths across America, all those who've been abandoned by their parents and loved ones. We let you know that God is good, always. Even when no one else cares, He's there for you.
Oh,
keep your head up.
Oh, hey, the streets don't love you back. Out here grinding in a life of crime. The streets don't love you back. It's only one rule, baby, I don't get mine. The streets don't love you back. It's only one way on this lonely road. The streets don't love you back. I gotta do right before they call me home. The streets don't
never love you.
This is Rob Boyd checking in to let you know the streets will never ever love you back.
When I was abandoned by my father in this world. When I was abandoned by the man that I thought loved me. It took my whole life in another direction, my mind. How can you say that you love me in this world? Never did nothing for me or my mama or my sister in this world. How can you look at yourself and be proud of what you've done? Now I say to myself, as a little child, I went to the street world and I had to learn that it didn't love me back. Now I look at life so much in a different frame, my mind. Now I know the streets will never love me back. I thank God for what he done for me, 'cause I listen to my mama in this world. Now I tell all the children, all the little boys and girls, the streets will never love you, will never love you back.
The streets don't love me back. I hear grinding in a life of crime. The streets don't love you back. It's only one rule, baby, I'ma get mine. The streets don't love you back. It's only one way on this lonely road.
Love you.
Never the streets
love
don't
you.
Love you back. Gotta do right before they come
and
home.
I know I can't change the way your young mind think, and I know you wanna lounge, smoke weed and drink, and I really ain't all the type to give a speech or preach, but I promise God that I would do this if you get me out the streets. See, when I was coming up, motherfuckers was loyal, but now they cracking under pressure when the situation boils and comes to a head. Another fork in the road. Everyone got affidavits, show their codies told. They wasn't scared to do the crime, but now these motherfuckers cowards. The county was one thing, but now it's no more private showers. It's all in the open. Better learn to be a man. Fuck all the pistol popping, yapping. Should've learned to use your hands. Went from pods, dorms, to day rooms, to mess halls and rec yards. You think you something special? Everybody's got it hard. Penitentiary ain't like it is on TV. And a fair joint is something hope you never have to see. I don't care how tough you think you are to humble your ass. They got a room especially for you just to beat your ass. Shit sad, it's hard, raced by the streets with no dad. But going life or death impression ain't gonna never change the past. Cause
yeah, yeah, ladies and gentlemen, I like to dedicate this track to my mother, my brothers, my sister, to my man LD, his wife Holly, to my manager Lucinda, to my two sons, Michael and Robert. Dedicate this to my homeboys, the Bishop Crew off Van Eyck and Harper, the Brewster Project, my man Chickaria, Warner County Project, 430 Crew, Day and Fab, rest in peace. Let's do this. You live on through my vision. The streets don't love you back. One of your own made it. Now we tell the world, the streets will never love you back. Change your ways. Change your ways. Change your ways.
And that was a track by Mr. Rob Boyd and LD. And we are back with The Streets Don't Love You Back. And tonight we're talking about The Streets Don't Love You Back book written by Mr. Rob Boyd. And that book is out this week. You can get that in Detroit at Harlem World Books and Videos and in New York at Human Books in Harlem. And also you can get it on our website, www.thestreetsdontloveyouback.nind.com. And very soon, we will let you know, but it will be available on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, Borders.com, IndieBound.org, and Books-A-Million.com. So we will update you on our website as soon as those sites come available. We are trying to get the books distributed at this time. But we are really excited that the book's out. And Rob, let's go back to a little bit about when you were young and after your stepfather was murdered. You were 9 and 10, and that's when you ended up turning to the Bishop Gang, because they were a few years older than you, most of them. They were just guys hanging out in your neighborhood. They were the gang. They stuck up for you, and you kind of just became a part of their family or their gang. Can you tell us a little bit about that and how that happened?
Yeah, what had happened, I was 10 years old, and we stayed in the Bishophood on the street called Strong, and I was going to elementary school called Trumbly right on Harper Avenue. And at that time, you know, my mother would buy me long coats, cashmere coats back in them days, you know, because that's what I liked it, you know, and that's what was in. And this particular day, I had went to school, and, you know, another gang member, which I didn't know it at the time because I didn't even know the neighborhood was gang infested, you know. And the guy had robbed me and took my coat, and it was cold wintertime, you know. So these guys that used to always hang out in front of my mother's house all the time, you know, I had ran back to the neighborhood and told them because they was older than me anyway. You know, I was just 10 years old. So they had took me back up there, and we seen the guy who was, he was wearing my coat, you know what I mean? And
yeah.
I'm like, wow. So my man gave me a pistol, you know what I mean? He said, you know, we want you to go over there and pistol whoop that guy, you know what I mean? And then you our man, you know what I mean? And get your coat back, you know, because he's from the opposite gang. I'm looking at them like, huh? You know what I mean? I'm 10 years old. I'm looking at my man, you know. He pull out this big heater off from under his coat. I'm looking at him like, what? I thought we were just coming back up here to, you know, get the coat. You know what I mean?
Right.
You know, he say, nah, little fella, you know. He say, man, you got to put in work, man. You know what I mean? He say, we the Bishop crew, you know. He say, we don't ever bother you and your family because y'all live in the neighborhood. You know what I mean? And, you know, they introduce themselves, you know. And I'm like, wow, you know what I mean? So, you know, I got the courage up instantly because, you know, just a year prior to that, I'd seen my stepfather get murdered. So, really, you know, I was still angry about that situation, you know what I mean? So the anger was in me, and I was, you know, ready to let that out, you know. So he gave me the heater, and I went and put in work, you know, and that was my first time ever putting in work at 10 years old, you know. So I pistol whipped the guy and got my coat back, and, you know, I told the guy, you know, if you ever tried that ever again, I kill you, you know. So from that point on, that's when Lil Rob life really began in the gang world.
Right, and you remained pretty angry for a lot of years, not having your father and not having your stepfather and then your grandfather. I mean, all the men in your life that you, you know, loved and cared about at one time were, like, just completely taken out of your life. And you, being the oldest, felt that it was your responsibility to do what you had to do to try to help your mom as she worked several jobs and to help take care of your brothers and your sister. And I know, you know, that you carried that anger and that resentment for a long time.
Oh, yes, definitely, because, like, you know, when you see somebody get murdered, you know, it's a definitely resenting thing, especially if somebody that you love and it's somebody that's close to you, you know, and it's your dad, you know what I mean? So, yeah, that was very resentful, and then, you know, your own grandfather doing the job, you know? So, yeah, I stayed angry at my mother's family for many years, you know, and that separated me from my mother's family, you know? And, you know, right to this day, you know, I'm 46 years old and don't know half of my cousins, you know what I mean, of their kids, you know, because I've been gone away from Michigan 20 years. And, you know, that was one of the reasons I left Michigan because, you know, I've truly always been a very private person and a loner when, you know, I left the gangs and the drugs and things like that and hustling alone. You know, my whole life became very private and just to my family, you know, and when I say family, to my mother and my sister and brother, you know what I mean? That's when I say family, you know. So my life became very private, and I only truly kept close in contact with my immediate family.
Right. And as a teenager growing up in that neighborhood, I know that you were involved with a lot of shootings and just different things like that. Can you talk a little bit about just some things in general that happened, or, you know, things that you did as a young teenager, just because you were in the gang or because of peer pressure or because...
Well, with me, like I spoke once before, it was never no peer pressure, you know. I started being angry as a kid at 9 years old, you know. So it was, you know, I was a very angry kid growing up, period, you know. So nobody had to pressure me in doing nothing, you know. I just wanted to get it off, you feel me? Because at that time, you know, we was gang banging and we was doing what we thought, you know, with what was happening, you know, but we was really destroying each other's life and destroying each other, you know what I mean, as humans and people, you know what I mean? Because, you know, as we got older, we realized nobody owned the streets, you know what I mean? And nobody owned no neighborhoods, you know what I mean? We didn't own now house in the neighborhood, you know, and nothing else in the neighborhood. So, you know, it was a true learning experience and an eye-opener, but I can go to a few events, you know, where I was 12 years old, and I just got out of jail again, you know, and my gang squad at that time, it was called Gang Squad and the Big Four. You know, they would pick us up and, you know, shake us down and lock us up and take us over to gang squad. And my mother, you know, at that time, my mother didn't know how to drive and none of that. And, you know, and buses in Detroit run 24 hours. So my mother and her friend, you know, used to ride the bus just to come pick me up out of jail, you know, at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. So, you know, that right there, you know, I look back over them years, and matter of fact, I was just talking to mother today, and I was just telling her how much I loved her and how much I appreciate all that she's done for me through my life, you know, because I stayed in the trouble, I stayed in the things, and I always stayed shooting somebody, you know. So my life was out of control as a kid, and one incident when I got out of jail at 12, like I said, you know, it's this one guy that, you know, me and him had got into it before I got locked up. So when I seen him, you know, automatically I come straight through the field, you know, and start emptying on him, you know. And I wasn't out an hour, and I was right back in there. So then with some of the bad incidents, and then at 14, just finna turn 15, my oldest son Michael was born. And my mother used to bring him to the places I was locked up in to visit me, you know. And I got out, and, you know, it's just like them days was just real bad because I was a very angry child growing up, and I got involved with a lot of things, very heavy in the gang life and in the hustle world, you know. And that's why I shed light on kids, you know. If you see something in your life as far as tragedy and things like that, you know, really be open to really talk to someone and discuss it with someone, you know, that truly can understand your pain and truly can understand what you're going through, because that could lead to a lot of other things in your life like it did me, you know?
Right. Right. And so I think that's part of, I mean, that is why the movement was born after, you know, the book was written. You know, the movement is to help teens and youth realize that, you know, what they're doing out on the street, the shootings, the killings, the beatings, the violence, that's not necessary, and that we need to help each other rise up, and we need to, you know, stop the violence and show more love in our lives and help each other to learn and grow and to not have all the gang violence that we have out there now. And that the drug life, you know, you sell drugs for a little while, but where's it going to get you? You know, you're either going to go to prison or you're going to die because, you know, somebody's going to kill you for the drugs or the money. That's what our movement is about, to teach the kids that there are alternatives and that there are people out here that, you know, that you can talk to and that you can get out of a gang, you know. And that you can change your life, you can get an education, you can do something better with your life. And, you know, we're telling you that it's your responsibility and you need to take responsibility for your life and for your actions and for your future. And, you know, to do what you got to do to take care of yourself and to get ahead in this world. And that, you know, one day maybe you can look back and help somebody else also. So, Rob, after your teenage years, I mean, you know, continued this on through you know, your young adulthood, and you were incarcerated again eventually, you know, and then it was, you know, a few years later that you decided that, you know, you wanted to change your life, you wanted to get away from the gangs and the drugs and that type of life and change your life and you know, be what you knew you could be and be what your mom always told you that you could be, and know, that you were better than that and that you could rise above all that. And just tell us a little bit about, you know, what you went through as you struggled to take it away from that kind of a life.
Oh, well, you know, what I struggled towards is when my cousin, like I said, you know, per se, when he started using drugs, when I really got into selling drugs real heavy, and he got to using drugs, that really hurt me more than anything, because my cousin was my right-hand man as far as me and him starting a 430 crew, you know? And, you know, that really hurt me when he messed his life up like that. You know, he came from nothing to something and then back from something to nothing. So that was a very hurtful thing, you know. And I said all the, you know, all the hard work and all the chances that we had took in the streets together, you know, he ended up, you know, dying from a drug overdose years later. You know, he had started messing with drugs in the 80s and ended up overdosing in the 2000s. So, you know, he never shook that game, you know. And that's what I tell people all the time. You know, don't be no fool like other people out here trying to try drugs and things like that, talking about I'm having a good time and I'm partying and things like that. Because back in the day where I came from, you know, yeah, the first one is on us. It's always free, you know. But a whole lot of more going to be on you, because you're the one going to be paying us now, you know.
Right.
So that was the motto back then. Yeah, we'll invite you to parties and all that. We'll give you all the drugs you want. But after that, you coming to us spending all your money, you know? So
right.
That's just awareness to let people know it ain't no thing that we party and having a good time, you know? Just don't use drugs, period. You know what I mean? I'm 46 years old. I've never used drugs in my life and been around every drug you can name, you know? I've never drank in my life, and I've never smoked cigarettes, none of that in my life. So, you know, you can't tell me that a person can't do nothing, because I'm a living witness, and I've been around it all ever since I was a young cat. It's all about what you want to do as an individual, you know? And my thing was making money. I didn't want to get high. I didn't want to be, you know what I mean, chilling like everybody else, because what I had was for money. It wasn't for nobody getting high except the person that's getting high, you know? So, the business is out here is just don't get caught up out here, because, you know, especially women, you know what I mean? You deal with guys out here and they push that in your face, you know, next thing you know, you become strung out on drugs. You feel me? It ain't no party and we having no good time. You become a dope fiend down the stretch, you know? And a lot of guys do that. And when a guy push drugs in your face, they don't care nothing about you, period. So, you know, that's an eye opener for a lot of women out here as well, you know. And I done seen a lot of women go out this world real, real crazy. You know, they nice looking women and very educated sometimes, but then they get with the wrong people and around the wrong people, talking about girl this and girl that and this, that, and other. Then next thing you know, they're a dope fiend, done lost everything they done worked, you know, fought through the years. So be aware of, you know what I mean, your surroundings, and be aware of people. You know, if you got people that use drugs, they ain't your friend and you don't need to be bothered with them, you know?
Right. Right. So we will listen to another song here, and then we will return back and talk a little bit more about the streets. Love you back.
What's up, what's up? This RB checking in. But the streets don't love you back. The movement is on, baby. Letting you know, me and LD talking about that thug / drug life. Let me tell you a little lesson, players. In these streets, baby, they'll never love you back. Trust that.
In these streets, no one's above you. In these streets, no one can touch you. In these streets, love if you want to. But no, these streets, they don't love you. They don't love you.
Everybody's around here talking about all that thug life, player. talking about that drug dealing thing. Tell you, baby, it's about getting your life together, getting your head on tight, doing something with your life, and stop destroying your community, and stop destroying yourself, baby. So when the people come at you, they come for real, player. Homeboys on my team done got 400 million before, baby. 100 million, baby. Now they sitting on death row, baby. That's where you want to be, player. Cause the drug game is washed up. The thug game is washed up, baby. They put it in our communities, baby, and they tell us off the top, yeah, you can make this, you can make that. But once they come for you, game over, lights out. Do what you feel, do what you want to do, baby, but join the movement. It's the streets, baby. They don't love you back. It's the streets, baby. They don't love you back. Come on, come on.
In these streets, no one's above you. In these streets, no one can touch you. In these streets, love
you. Yeah, yeah. This track here is a track of knowledge, you feel me? Want all young brothers and sisters across America to understand that the drug game, the thug life, that's all washed up right now. Take heed, learn from players that done live that life, you feel me? Much love to my man, the real Freeway Ricky Ross. Jeff stepped down May 4th, we sending you much love out there to Cali, you feel me? Much love to everybody across the state to state who roll with the movement. It's time to open your eyes up, people. It's time to rise up above all this street thing, you feel me? It's a better way. Let's do this.
It's moments like this when my back's against the fence that I say, fuck the fence. Life is test, I gotta go and get a bit. God, get caught up in moving shit, I'm strong. It started from my home, so I'm at home with pressures. Are we all alone when we born? We all alone when we die. We need to get our shit together. We can make it if we try. Can probably make it if you fly. But I hate it when you whine. And if all is true is up, then you can take it when you die. I'm on my grind, cause all I got is time. But maybe it's enough, but if it's not, then let me know. Cause I feel like I'm a bust. I'm overstuffed with propaganda. They should slander and lies, try to slick the public and then wonder why there's crimes and murders on the rise. Cause we ain't got a dime. Shit, I'ma hurt some fucking body. You can see it in my eyes. I lie awake sometimes at night and ponder how to get ahead. Jump out of bed, paranoid. I'm going backwards instead. Feel like my feet is full of lead. Cause I just can't move. Freestyle life off the head. Cause I don't know what to do. I need to make a couple moves. Ooh, I need to make a couple moves. I need to make a couple moves, but I gotta stay free, cause each and everything I do and say affects my seed. Decide what's the truth, separated from fallacy. Separate what I want from the things that I need, and try to make a way for everything to be okay. Stay focused on my goals, so you never stray away. Let the past be the past, and your future's okay. Pay attention to the present, living in it every day. Come
now
on.
Now this all be checking back in with you, like I said, it's that trap of knowledge that you young brothers and sisters understand. That hey, the street life, that's a dead issue, that's a dead game, that's all washed up. Let's get our life together, let's do what we need to do. Let's love more, hate none. RB, love, one. Much love to Lucinda, my manager, and my man LD. Let's do it. 100. Out.
And once again, this is the Streets Don't Love You Back radio talk show. And tonight we're talking with Ron Boyd, the author of the Streets Don't Love You Back book and the founder of the Streets Don't Love You Back movement. And just to let you know also, we are having a book signing September 12th from 3 to 4 p.m. in Detroit at the Harlem World Books and Video. And you can get more information about that on our website. That is www.thestreetsdontloveyouback.ning.com. And also we have our new Change reality show, and that will begin September 5th, and that is out of Warner Cable in Cincinnati. And we're looking to open up a show in New York, and then eventually we're hoping to go syndicated throughout the U.S. But the Change reality show is dealing with people who used to live the gang, street, thug, hustle, you know, drug life, and people that have changed from that life and now are doing positive things with their life, how they did it, what they're doing. And so this is a new reality show, and it begins in September. If you would like to be a part of this show, you can send us a DVD, or you can email us, and we will get back to you. you can also find out all the information about that on our website, and that again is www.thestreetsdontloveyouback.ning.com. And also remember that we have our radio show every Wednesday night, 8:30 p.m. Pacific time and 11:30 p.m. Eastern time. And if you'd like to be a guest on our radio show, you can also notify us again on our website. Our change show will show three times a week in Cincinnati, Monday, 7 a.m., Channel 24, Wednesdays at 2 p.m. on Channel 4, and Friday, 11 p.m. on Channel 4. I'm sorry, Monday, 7 a.m., Channel 24. So we're looking forward to this new show. We're hoping to, share a lot of stories and maybe through example help a lot of younger people understand that they can change their lives and that there is a better way. And going back to the statistics here from the gang task force, the facts are that there are about 30,000 violent street gangs, including motorcycle gangs and prison gangs, with approximately 800,000 members in the United States alone. So many of them are sophisticated and very organized, and they use the violence to control their neighborhoods and to boost their illegal money activities, which include drug trafficking, robbery, theft, fraud, extortion, prostitution rings, as well as gun trafficking. You know, and a lot of these gangs now, believe it or not, parents, you need to keep an eye on your youngsters because they have kids out there 8, 9, and 10 years old carrying guns and moving their drugs for them because when those kids are caught, they don't go to jail. So that's easy prey for them, and then they pay the kids a few dollars here and there, whatever they need to do. But a lot of the young kids are getting involved because, you know, the older kids, whether they're bullying them or paying them or whatever, they're using them, and they are carrying drugs. So be very careful and, talk to your kids, see what your kids are doing, find out where your kids are at after school, get them to a program where they can do something positive with their life and be a part of their life, mother and father. And, let's raise up a new generation of kids that are educated and, positive influences in the world instead of, all the violence that we've had. Rob, do you have anything else to say about that right now?
Yes, I just wanted to say, it's definitely an enlightening situation to encourage the youths out here that the streets will never love them back, and the gangs ain't going to love you back. The so-called homies ain't going to love you back. All that is just momentarily, because you never win in that game because of a little bit of example. Just like John Gotti always used that example, that's the real mafia, the Gambino family. Sammy the Bull with his right-hand man. Sammy the Bull committed 100 murders, but they wanted John Gotti. They didn't care how many people Sammy the Bull killed. They wanted John Gotti, so Sammy the Bull flipped and rolled on him. And John Gotti spent the rest of his life in prison until he died of throat cancer. So you do the statistics out here, people, and you do the thinking, because there's no loyalty in that game. It used to be loyalty in the mafia world. It used to be loyalty out here in that life. But, man, that's been throughout the window a very, very long time ago, It's every man for himself, So right. You can sit around the table and fake the funk all day long, talking about, oh, that's my man. My man ain't going to never do that. Yeah, okay, player. Don't fool yourself, You better look at what done happened before you was born and what's done happened while you've been born. There's no loyalty to the drug world. There's no loyalty to the gang world because when it come down to it, the guy who done killed everybody, that's the one that done snitch. He's snitching on everybody, you feel me? Because they don't want him, even though he done did all that. They want the man. They don't want the doughboy. They want the man, you feel me? The people who's running these things, that's who they want, So beware out here, of what's really happening with you. And parents, start looking more at your children out here, Because they come young as 8, 9, 10 years old. I was 10 years old when I joined the gang. So they come young as I came, and they come younger, So truly be aware of what's happening and stop saying my kid ain't going to do this and my kid ain't going to do that. You don't know what your child doing once he leave out that door, she leave out that door. So quit always trying to praise your children, you feel me? Because they'll cross you too. Believe that.
Right.
So let's understand the life out here, you know, and understand that the streets will never love you back, and we must get hip to what's really happening out here and stop turning our heads to what reality is really about out here, parents, and start looking at real reality. So that's what I have to say, and I would like to say once again, I really truly appreciate Miss Lucinda for being such a great person and, you know, a person who's the day that she got involved with the movement, the book and everything, she's always been focused and has done been stay focused, you know, and definitely love her for all of that. And definitely want to say, you know, loving her to death and really thank her for, you know, our engagement as well. So just wanted to say that out loud, you know. Love you, babe.
Thank you, babe. Love you, too. We also would like to let all the college students know that we have, for any of the students that are in music or broadcasting and want to become an intern for our the Keep It Real show that is already showing in Cincinnati or the Change show that is coming up, you can also send us your resume or let your college professor know, and they can contact us at thestreetsdontloveyouback@gmail.com. And also, we do have a scholarship fund to assist students in you know, getting back into school and taking some classes. And you can learn more about that on their website. Also, you know, like again, I said, the books are out, and you can order them on our website. Part of the money that we get from the book sales will also go to the Homeless Coalition, which has been one of Mr. Boyd's charities for many years, and he's you know, worked with the Homeless Coalition for several years and donated money from his CD label Boyd Records and other things that he's done in the past few years. So part of the proceeds from the books do go to the charity, the Homeless Coalition, and look forward to our upcoming clothing line, which part of the proceeds to that will go to our scholarship fund as well. So we look forward to, you know, having the apparel. We do have our caps out right now. We're working on T-shirts, and other things will be following that. But please log on to our website, www.streetsdontloveyouback.ning.com. Become a member of the movement, and you know, we do want people that want to help in their communities. We want people that will be an active member, you know, to be able to you know, meet up with us at times, or just be able to go out in their communities as a part of our movement and talk to the kids at the schools or the colleges or the churches or community functions, and you know, talk about the Streets Don't Love You Back and what's out there, you know, how you've made a change in your life or how people can change their lives. And again, you know, we're just pushing education, you know, with as we've talked about so many times, with knowledge and education comes power and self-esteem, and you, you know, will eventually have a lot better things in your life. And again, you know, take responsibility for your own actions, what you do now, what you do, you know, tomorrow, and for your future. And again, get the book. You will find out so much more than what we've talked about tonight. There are so many stories in there. You know, Mr. Boyd grew up, but were, you know, in the gangs as teenagers, you know, with Maserati Rick Carter, Demetrius Holloway, the YBI crew, just, you know, Big Ed Hanzer, Raymond Peoples, you know, on and on. So, you know, it's really interesting, and there's a little stories about all of them and things that happened in Detroit, you know, back in those days. But very interesting reading. So get your book and enjoy reading and join our movement, and let's spread the word that the streets don't love you back. And, you know, the only one you can count on in this world is our Heavenly Father, God. And, you know, let's raise our hands up to Him and ask for guidance and counsel, and let's try to change our world and make it a better world for all of us and for our children and grandchildren. Rob, I'll give you the last word, and then we'll play a song for the night.
I just once again want to just tell everybody thank you all for the support of the Streets Don't Love You Back movement. And we ask in everybody in every community, in every college, every church, every school to truly get involved with the movement and go to www.thestreetsdontloveyoubackning.com and let's get actively involved with it and spread the word to everybody. And much love to everybody that's already down with us. And we asking you to continue doing what you do and continue spreading God's word, because the Streets Don't Love You Back is definitely His word, because they don't love you back, but He sure do. And once again, big ups to everybody who rolled with our movement. And much love to my fiance, Miss Lucinda, and I love you very much. And let's turn it back over to you.
Thank you, and remember, next Wednesday night, we will be on the air, 8:30 Pacific Time, 11:30 Eastern Time, and this is The Streets Don't Love You Back, saying goodnight as we listen to Guide and Protect Us by Rising Sun.
Guide and protect us, Lord. Give us your grace and your strength and your mercy. Swinging the two-edged sword. I'm fighting for justice so nothing can hurt me. Even when I pass away, my legacy lives on through my seed and my working. Every little thing I pray. Give thanks for your grace and your strength and your mercy, your mercy. The first one I call every day when I wake and pray. Yeah, the one who is there when no one has a care, I say, Lord, you strengthen my soul when my mind wants to go astray. Yeah, and lift me up high when I fall and my ground gives way. Lord, how precious your love and your grace and your countenance. Lord, you show me the light and the dark, now I shall repay. Yeah, with all of my strength I will fight with an iron fist. Lord, the freedoms of hate and the seed today don't exist. Guide and protect us, Lord. Give us your grace and your strength and your mercy. Swinging the two-edged sword. I'm fighting for justice so nothing can hurt me. Even when I pass away, my legacy lives on through my seed and my working. Every little thing I pray. Give thanks for your grace and your strength and your mercy, your mercy. With enemies close all around, I will call your name. Yeah, and slaughter the weak, you quickly with no thought or shame. Lord, for my heart is firm in your hands, so I'm no disgrace. No, I'll hail up your name every day with a smiling face. Boy, I never can give in a praise to your tenderness. Lord, to be in your infinite grace is my happiness. Yeah, no matter the time or the place, you're omnipotent. Lord, you show me the light and the dark, so I shall repent. Guide and protect us, Lord. Give us your grace and your strength and your mercy. Swinging the two-edged sword. I'm fighting for justice so nothing can hurt me. Even when I pass away, my legacy lives on through my seed and my working. Every little thing I pray. Give thanks for your grace and your strength and your mercy, your mercy. Yeah, we tried the long rocky road. The buffalo soldier fights for power, freedom, boy. The last is death on the throne. The conquering disciples burn your congregation. Yeah. Collect the security. We build a better nation. Time beside the unity. Say nothing and fight, nothing and war. But brotherly love can destroy oppression. If we come together, we can conquer all our foes. Live victory eternally. But if we keep on murdering, see so much petty things.
we're crumbling our destiny. But we were meant to rule upon the earth and multiply creativity and love. So I will always try to show love and respect until I die. And so I will humble and pray. Guide and protect us, Lord. To give us your grace and your strength and your mercy. Swinging that two-edged sword. I'm fighting for justice so nothing can hurt me. Even when I pass away. My legacy lives on through my seed and my working. Every little thing I pray. Give thanks to your grace and your strength and your mercy, your mercy.